We're here at the Underground Collision in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the Zappos headquarters. And here in the studio lounge is Beth Carr from Santa Cruz Community Credit Union. Beth, how are you?
Good. I'm doing good.
Awesome. You were just up on stage up there talking realities of cannabis and lending disruption. And you guys were kind of focusing on the cannabis disruption part of it. So give us a quick overview on what you guys talked about, because I thought what you were saying up there was incredibly timely. And I think there's a lot of folks out there that could benefit from what you guys said.
Well, I think the big strategic question in the room was, you know, what is the financial institution, what are credit unions going to do about cannabis banking going forward? Is everybody going to hold back and wait till, you know, the Safe Banking Act passes? Or are we going to just, you know, dive in and try and do more with the folks that need help?
Right.
Yeah, so I think for us, we've been doing the cannabis banking since 1996, when it became legally available in California. And it was like no surprise to me when I got to this credit union as CEO that there were, you know, a number of accounts. And we managed those accounts for years, but all of a sudden, when it became legal in California, it became a big issue for NCUA and DBO, and their concerns about, well, what's available, what's legal, what's, you know, are you following the federal, all of that. So we've been doing it for a long time. It's a very manual process. Our goal was not to be profitable necessarily. We wanted to be profitable, but we needed to break even. It wasn't to gouge these folks. It was just to ensure that we had the funds to cover the compliance issues, and it's all about compliance.
Well, and give them a place to do business, you know, other than just carrying around bags full of cash around, you know?
Yeah, because we're a CDFI and we're a low-income credit union, and so our effort has always been to make sure that everybody has access to financial services. And there's a feeling, and I know this was certainly true from those businesses that we serve, that they're second-class citizens in the community. And to some degree, they are. If they can't get a banking account, you know, what's wrong with that? And if we don't bank these folks, we'll never know if they're doing any criminal activity. So, you know, we need to have strong compliance. We need to be looking at what they're doing. And if they follow the rules, they can have an account. And that keeps the credit union safe.
Because I can't remember her name from Safe Harbor, but she was saying they had like a waiting list basically to do business. Are you guys the same thing?
Yeah, we do too. We have over 100 accounts waiting to open accounts, or I should say 100 MRBs, cannabis businesses, waiting to open accounts. But we can only manage a certain amount because of our size. We're 125 million in assets, and so therefore, any huge amounts of accounts that we manage becomes a cash flow problem because we get huge amounts of cash. You know, capital tumbles. It's, you know, so we have to manage very tightly. But again, it's all a manual process. So we've increased fees as we've gone along, based on if we have to add more compliance services or add more staff for handling certain types of accounts.
How quickly can you add those accounts? Because the ones that are kind of like on hold and waiting, or
it takes 3 months to add.
Oh, it does.
Oh yeah, because you have to do all the due diligence. Okay. You have to have all their paperwork in. You have to make sure that they're licensed with the state and they have everything in order. And then on top of that, we do site visits, and it's almost worse than doing a business loan because you do the site visits, you make sure that they're following the rules, and then you ease them in. So
good, that's gracious. So where do you see this going? Obviously, I mean, it's legal in California now, and I guess most of the West Coast now, because Oregon and. So where do you see it going
I think eventually all financial institutions will be banking cannabis in down the road. But I do think that, I mean, even with us, I think we could grow the number of accounts we have, but our you know, at our size, we have to stay.
The demand is there.
The demand is there, and nobody in our county is serving cannabis businesses except for us. So I think that eventually, you know, some much larger banks will jump in who have the resources available to more efficiently offer those services, and we could lose those accounts. And we're prepared for that. We just figure right now we're doing the best we can to serve those folks, and we may end up, you know, 5 years from now with a handful of members that are loyal, and that's
all I was thinking, loyal.
A thing, and we'll see how that goes. But you know, it's a very laborious work, because you know, if they're wiring money, then you have to sit there with the invoices and compare the invoices to what they said they did and make sure everything's exact.
Is that, I hate to ask this, but is their business worth your time? Because of the like you said, the laborious.
You know, this is one thing we didn't talk about, was the PR issue and the community. And I know that's been a question that we've been asked. And in fact, we work with a third-party compliance company that said, "Are you prepared for blowback And I said, well, we've had these accounts for a lot of years. Our blowback is if we stopped offering those services. You know, and it's Santa Cruz.
Right.
So, you know, if we stopped serving them, and we've actually had a couple that we couldn't serve anymore because of they didn't follow the compliance issues, and so we had to, you know, ask them to move on.
Right.
And those folks wrote letters in the paper saying, you know, this credit union is no longer cannabis business friendly, and they kicked us out. And it really wasn't about that. It was about the regulatory and compliance issues, because we have to keep the credit union as a whole safe. Again, CDFI, low-income credit union, the core of the credit union, to serve people in the community and help people, you know, get from point A to point Z and be more resilient. Personally, I think that has to be continue to be a priority.
Right.
But they, this group is still, you know, unserved for the most part. So,
so they are worth the time. Was what we're saying.
I think they're worth the time because they're part of our community,
right.
And they're
exactly.
part of our community. And there's, you know, there is blowback when we don't open an account. There's blowback when we close an account. There's a blowback. You know what I mean?
But there's reasons behind
those. Reasons behind it, and it's all, you know,
all compliance.
All compliance driven. It has to be. It's like I said on stage a few minutes ago. Is we love our members. Just follow the rules. If you don't follow the rules,
it's that simple.
To love you and say goodbye, you know, because it is about...
Yeah, you want their business.
It's about keeping... It's very strict. It's very it's very high risk from, you know, because it's Bank Secrecy Act stuff. And it's got to be done absolutely perfect.
Yep, indeed.
All right, lessons to learn. But thank goodness you guys are there to help these folks out. And then, again, the demand is there. Mm-hmm. So you guys are there for them. So good stuff. All right, Beth, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the time. Thank you for all the work that you do. This is really good stuff. You guys are doing a great job.